Our study tonight is out of the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, God's promise, deliverance at Israel's repentance. The day of the Lord, a term used at the time when God administers judgment on sin and deliverance for his people, can be applied to an event in Israel's past history, as well as to end time events that are yet to occur. Joel's prophecy is written likely when young King Joash ruled under the regency of priests in 835 to 796 BC. Deal with both uses of this term, the existence of a locust plague in Joel's era that also prefigured a military invasion in the future Great Tribulation. So we view God's promised deliverance at Israel's repentance for the judgments of both the locust plague and the invading army as presented in Joel 2, 18 through 27. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Joel 2, 18 to 27. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied with it. And I will no more make you a reproach among the Gentiles. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, that's the Dead Sea, and his hinder part towards the utmost sea, that would be the Mediterranean. And his odor shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things, or very great bad things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness to spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, that's the fall rain, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain in autumn, and the latter rain, that's in the spring, in the first month. And the doors and the floors shall be full of wheat, the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore you to the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I set among you. And you shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. It's interesting, that phrase occurs three times in this passage. The Mosaic Covenant provided that if Israel violated God's law, he would punish her in various ways, including destruction by locusts, Deuteronomy 28, verse 42, and or by an invading army, Deuteronomy 28, verses 49 to 51. Where Joel 1, 1-20 reported on God's judgment in Joel's day by locusts, Joel 2, 1-17 predicted his judgment by an invading army in the end time, the day of the Lord. It's interesting, the effects of an invasion by locusts and a locust plague is very much like the effects, or very much like the effects of an invasion of an army. The loss of food, the destruction of the land because the soldiers are using it, or they're cutting down trees to use for battering rams in the walls and that kind of thing. And they really care less about the crops. They denude the crops as well. So it's interesting that God uses both the locust plague in Joel's day and then the army that is coming up in the last time. It's very important. Consequently, Joel 2, 18 to 27 presented God's promised deliverance for Israel's repentance at both the locust plague in Joel's era and the invading army in the end time. There are phrases in the passage that I just read tonight that seem to appear only to an army. And there are other phrases that seem to appear only to the locusts. And what it looks like is that the Lord's dealing with both in this. So following Israel's genuine repentance as described in Joel 2, 12 to 17, God promised to show mercy for his people and express his jealousy for the welfare of his land on which his people were dwelling. God promised to send his people grain, new wine, and olive oil to satisfy them fully from what the locust plague and the end-time invading army had or will have destroyed. Never again, that would be after the end-time invasion, would God make his people the scorn of the nations. This is a very important phrase, the scorn of the nations, being scorned at, being mocked at. In our culture here in the United States, to be mocked is kind of a bad thing, but it's not heavy a thing. In the Middle East, or in an Eastern or Oriental culture, to mock a person publicly is almost like killing them. This is why we have to be very careful. A lot of our, some of our presidents have made some statements about the Chinese that are very openly mocking, and that's very serious in China, and they're not aware of the culture. They really should screen this. And we found the same thing in Africa, is the same. They have a more Oriental culture, and publicly embarrassing a person is absolutely infuriating to them. So you have to be very, very careful. So God here is talking about never again will his people be mocked or be shamed, publicly shamed. It's a very important phrase for God to make. And number four, the northern army that would have invaded Israel in the Great Tribulation, and that's the northern army, we believe, of Daniel 11:40, will be driven by God into the desert, its front columns going into the eastern or the Dead Sea, and its rear columns into the western of the Mediterranean Sea. And the stench of the dead corpses would rise up. Remember, the way they tell directions in biblical times is not north, south, east, and west. Front is east, back is west, left is north, and right is south. So this is why it's going to go, his front will this way and his back this way. That's how you tell directions in the Middle East, in the ancient Near East. Okay, he'll driven to the desert, its front columns going to the eastern sea of the Dead Sea, its rear columns to the western Mediterranean, and the stench of the dead corpses would rise up. We wonder why God would talk about the stench. The stench is proof positive that he has destroyed the enemy. Okay, and so the stench in ancient warfare gave glory to the victor. I don't ask you to identify with that, but nevertheless, that's what's going on here. The reason God will cause the stench to arise will be to exalt himself in having done a great thing in destroying this overwhelming invading force. Now, God, through his prophet Joel, called the land not to be afraid, but to be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will have done great things for it. The wild animals are admonished not to be afraid either, for the open pastures will become green, the trees will bear their fruit, the fig tree and the vine will yield their agricultural wealth. It's interesting, it takes quite a while for a vine to be productive and yield. So they're talking about peace over a period of time. God's people in Zion are urged to rejoice in the Lord their God, for he will have given them the early autumn rains and righteousness. Remember, the new year starts in the autumn. Rosh Hashanah starts in the autumn and goes, so the early rain is the autumn rain. The latter rain is just the opposite of the way we think. The latter rain comes in the spring. So God's people are urged to rejoice in the Lord their God, for he will have given them the early autumn rains and righteousness, sending abundant showers in autumn and the latter spring rains in the past days of divine blessing. The autumn rains are often quite common. The rains that are come in the spring, or what they call the secondary rains, are often kind of rare, and that's when they get bad crop production. You want a good, not only autumn rain, but you want a good latter rain. That would be the spring rain, so that the kernels of the grain can fill out and the olive trees can be very productive. So God says you're going to get both. Now, the threshing floors will again be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and olive oil. They would crush not only the grapes in these wine vats, but also the olive oil at a different time of the year. As God will have restored to Israel all the various kinds of locusts, with all the various kinds of locusts, the end time invading army either had or will have destroyed. Israel's people will have plenty to eat, and they will praise the name of the Lord their God, who will have worked wonders for them. And never again at the end time will God's people be shamed. The reason for their not being shamed is they're not going to be worshiping false idols. God's bringing the judgment because of idolatry. They went away from God and went after false idols. So God is changing this. And when they get committed to the Lord and to the Lord alone and forever, Now you're going to have blessings forever. Ultimately, God's people would know that he was in Israel, that he was the Lord their God, or he was Yahweh their Elohim, and that there was no other Elohim but him. Elohim is the word for the Creator God. Yahweh or Lord is the word for the I Am. Indeed, for the third time in this section, God added that his people would never again be shamed due to his discipline by an end-time invading destructive human army. Very important. That shame will be in the past. So whether by a severe locust plague in Joel's day or by an invading human army in the end time, when God's people repent of their waywardness from the Lord, he will destroy the destroyers and replenish their land from the destruction by the invaders. God's goal is eventually never again to have to shame his people Israel by leveling his punishment upon them and their land for sin. It's quite an application for us. If God timelessly punishes his people for sin, whether it's by locusts or an end-time army, as well as timelessly richly blesses them if they repent, may we repent if needed and stay upright to escape future shameful punishment. One thing about God is he is relentlessly consistent. You know, if we relentlessly sin, he relentlessly punishes. If we repent of the sin and we are relentless in obeying him, then he's relentless in his blessing. So God is not a fool. He can't be mocked. And he's incredibly impartial. He loves everybody, but he's very, very impartial. So we can't think that, well, I've been good for 30 years, so you know, I can go ahead and sin a little bit this time and God will overlook it. If you've been good for 30 years, you go ahead and sin, you're going to get it. That's the way God is. He's just that kind of a God. On the other hand, if we've been bad for 30 years, but we repent, then there's blessing. Because we deal with a God who's objective. So may we learn the lesson that God is a God to be very respected and revered so that we follow him. Our friend Chris, who's here tonight, shared with us, I think it was last Wednesday, a Sunday night, he shared with us that he's learned to revere the Lord. Maybe it was here. And that's one of the best statements. It was here. It was one of the best statements I've ever heard you make, because that happens to be the program that God's really looking for now. In our church era, it's growing in the revering the Lord.